Holly Jolly Marketing Folly, Marketing Foolishness. It's a special post-holiday edition of The Big Show, episode number 85 of Power to the Small Business. Let's go.
Branding, experience, conversation, promotion, powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the internet show all about small business marketing. Jay Arrett hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power to the small business.
My name is Jay Arrett. I'm Dean of Marketing Know-How at themarketingspot.com. So during the holidays, I thought I'd take a fun look at some marketing foolishness. I called my friend Spike Jones up and say, hey, you want to have some fun with some marketing foolishness? Everybody's always giving tips on what to do. Let's talk about what not to do. And Spike Jones of WCG in Austin said, yeah, let's do it. And so Spike will be our guest shortly on marketing folly, what not to do. We're all guilty of a little bit of marketing foolishness from time to time, including yours truly. Before we bring Spike in, though, a note on transformation. I mentioned in the last episode that I was going on a transformation journey in 2013, and I've launched a website so you can kind of follow along and transform with me during 2013 if you like. And the website is x4i.com. That's the letter X and then F-O-U-R and the letter I.com. X4i.com. What is marketing foolishness, marketing folly? What should you not do in 2013? Let's discuss it with Spike Jones.
So we're joined on the Skype line by Spike Jones. He's Group Director for Engagement at WCG in Austin and author of Brains on Fire. Hey, Spike, welcome to the Big Show.
Hey, Jay, thanks for having me.
Just a little flashback, did do a review, or not a review, but a highlight of some of the advice in Brains on Fire on the blog. That was featured on the blog at one time.
Thanks, man.
Any new books in the works for you?
Oh, you know, I got a couple of ideas, kind of actually based on the conversation we're going to have today. So, good timing.
Cool. Well, it's Holly Jolly Marketing Folly, or Marketing Foolishness. So we're just going to rattle off maybe some things are funny. Some of them are funny, but some of the things that you should not be doing that are marketing foolishness. Spike is an expert on a lot of stuff you should do, so that should also make him an expert on things you shouldn't do.
We'll see about that.
Let's get started. What's your number one marketing folly, Spike?
Well, I think in today's age of social and, you know, group involvement and, you know, crowdsourcing, I think there's a lot of missteps that happen on a regular basis. And I think a great example this past year was Mountain Dew crowdsourcing the name for their new drink. I don't know if you remember this, but it went horribly, horribly wrong to where these guys came in and basically hijacked the entire thing. And so some of the top choices I can't repeat publicly, but one was... Hitler Did Nothing Wrong was, I think, the number one voted the most. And there's another one called, like, Diabetes, I think, was going to be the name. And so, of course, Mountain Dew cannot take these. There are also lots of references to your grandmother that couldn't be included. But these made up, like, the top 10 most voted for names. And so this idea that, without the guide rails or guardrails, I think that brands should put in place whenever they start crowdsourcing, things can just go horribly wrong, especially when it comes to naming or, you know, hashtags is another big one that we see people put them out there with the best intentions. But, of course, people come along and they hijack on a regular basis.
What do you think is the big lesson with crowdsourcing, Spike? Is there a good place for it, or should it just mostly be avoided?
Well, I think there's a good place for it. I mean, you know, crowdsourcing exists in lots of different forms. So, you know, you could almost debate that something like a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo is a crowdsourcing platform because people find really cool stuff that they want to be involved in, and then they, you know, pay for it. It is more, you know, it's still very active, but and they get to have a voice, but it's in a very pronounced, pointed, exact way.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of, hey, what do you guys think? You know, there was another company that at the Word of Mouth Marketing Association for a long time, and they decided to change their name and change their logo, and they were a crowdsourcing company, so of course they crowdsourced the new name and the new logo. I'm not going to say who they are, but it was terrible. And they had to eat their own dog food, you know? And so, again, I think it's whenever we put very good and proper guardrails for the crowd to go by, then we won't have as many problems. I mean, another example is Instagram, you know, the big debacle that just happened with them. I mean, right or wrong, they caved to the pressure of the crowd, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe they shouldn't have changed their policies and all that good stuff, and that's a whole other conversation. But again, you know, whenever a company gives in to this public outcry, and when I say public outcry, I think that's interesting, you know, in and of itself, Jay, because it is this microcosm of people online. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to remember that the majority of people are not online and are not on social. And so when Gap gives in and changes its logo back, or Instagram gives in and changes its policy back, I just have to wonder, you know, are they being held hostage by the very policies they're creating?
I think that's a good lesson too, Spike, in that the most vocal are not necessarily the majority. And so you may have this small segment, this small group of your customer base, and you're letting them determine the future of your business. And that's just not wise. And business owners need to realize that, hey, it's your baby, right? You put this together. You can get ideas from other people and maybe inspiration, but you don't abdicate your authority to somebody else in your business.
Absolutely. And I think there's a difference between going to your core customer base and asking them, maybe even in a private setting or one-on-one. You know, we did this a lot for the Fiskers when I was at Brains on Fire. We had a select group of people that we really trusted and we know would tell us the truth but wouldn't bash us, but would help us from steering off course. And we would go to them and say, what do you guys think? I mean, when you open it up to the whole world, you know, I wonder how many people, and I know Gap wasn't even in this past year, but you remember that whole thing when they tried to change their logo? How many people were really Gap customers that complained about the logo?
So crowdsourcing, use it wisely. It can be marketing foolishness. My marketing foolishness is the next big thing.
Mm-hmm.
About a year ago, I went on a self-imposed hiatus from Twitter and stopped reading blogs the way that I used to, you know, just to get away. I just got tired.
I knew I liked you, Jay.
And so then I came back a couple months ago, a little bit more involved in Twitter, not that much, but a little bit more involved in Twitter and reading more blogs again. And everything's about big data. So I'm reading, everybody's talking about it, how to use it, what it means, and I'm thinking like, marketers especially, if you're looking for trends, marketers get on these trends and they're always, it's the next big thing for marketers, as if that's what's going to help your business, the next big thing. And I remember when Google Plus was the next big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Google Plus has a place, but it wasn't the next big thing. I think we keep looking for this next big thing. And what I think is really at the heart of that problem, Spike, is that people are looking for answers outside of their own business to market their business. It's like the answer lies somewhere outside of my own business. And if I can just hitch my wagon to the next big thing, everything within my business is going to be okay. And that's just marketing folly, I believe.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Jay. I mean, I think it's number one, you know, we're always going to hear about the next big thing, unfortunately. Number two, I think it's because those people also haven't mastered the set of tools, the amazing set of tools that they have, and integrated them together, you know, wherever they, you know, hitched their wagon to Quora back in the day, or Empire Avenue, or Pinterest, or, you know, they try it out and it doesn't work, and they go, okay, well, that didn't work, what's the next big thing? And so I think, you know, and hopefully a trend for 2013 will really be people that truly, not just using the word integration, but truly integrating their online and offline marketing, because, you know, there's got to be some, of course, marketing mix for people to do well, but that's where even big agencies, they haven't really cracked that nut yet. You know, there are digital divisions, which I think is fascinating word in and of itself, in these huge companies, these PR companies and even advertising companies, they have digital divisions, and I don't understand why they don't, you know, these teams don't start sitting together so they don't have this tunnel vision.
You just said the word there. We have these amazing tools, and they are amazing tools, tools that we didn't have. You know, I'm a little bit older than you, Spike, but we didn't have when I was first got into business way back in the day. But there are all these amazing tools. But I think the next big thing, what business owners, entrepreneurs fail to realize a lot, and marketing companies do this too, is that the next big thing lies within the business. It's not external to the business. And you have these amazing tools to market and promote the next big thing within your business. So more businesses tend to look outward for the answer when most of the answers come from inside the business, from inward. And then you tap these amazing tools that we have available to us to properly promote your business. And of course, then with all these amazing tools, as you just said, you've got to find a way to make them work together.
Absolutely. It's easier said than done, of course. But, you know, that's why we're in this business.
Right. So marketing folly number two, what's up on your marketing folly list?
I'm going to stick with the whole social conversation. I'm going to go for the, again, people hijacking, but it's people hijacking your hashtags. And I think we saw, especially later in the year, we saw two great examples of this on Twitter. One is Starbucks. In the UK, a big report came out that people found out that Starbucks pays hardly any tax to the government in Europe. And so at the same time, though, they launched a new Twitter campaign with hashtag spread the cheer. And, of course, the people of Europe and all over the world used the opportunity to chime in on what they thought of Starbucks not paying a lot of taxes. And you know, the majority of that feed was people complaining about that, which I thought was not hilarious because it's a nightmare for Starbucks. But again, you know, just being aware of what's going on in your corporate culture and what's going on in the news, you know, sometimes you might want to not launch that hashtag out there in the world. The other one is the McDonald's, and they did the McD stories. Mm-hmm. And this is another, you know, tell us your McD story, which basically tell us your, you know, a great memory that you had at McDonald's. Well, people found the opportunity to also hijack this hashtag and talk about the fat content in McDonald's products. So, again, just being aware and being, you know, I want to believe that there's good in everybody, but especially on social media, you know, people tend to, well, how do we put it? A different side of people tends to come out because while it's not anonymous, you still have a lot of power when you're sitting behind that computer screen when people can't yell directly back at you. So I think just being aware that when you're putting those things out there, you know, just having a lot of context before you even launch it is a good thing.
Putting it in context and being able to think like the public, too. Like, you've got to be in whatever committee meeting they did to come up with those things and think,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a cool idea. And it may be a cool idea, but when you release it out on Twitter and you do a hashtag, then you have, I mean, you're losing control of it. I mean, you're opening it up to the public for everything else. And you got to be able to think like your customers or think like people who aren't your customers and mm-hmm. say, well, what are they going to do? Pretty easy to think like, oh, yeah, someone can hijack this. My next marketing folly is relying only on the free tools. And I think this happens a lot with small businesses and entrepreneurs, that there are so many free tools out there that we think that we will just rely on the free tools. And so they become not willing to make investments and spend a little bit of money on some things. You know, Facebook is free. So, hey, let's put up a Facebook page because that's free. We don't have to spend any money on it. Of course, your investment with Facebook is the time and the messaging and everything else like that. You still have to have a plan. But I think a lot of businesses in this age of social media and all the free tools online is, hey, let's get by with some free tools.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
Unfortunately, and I think that eliminates some other things too, because I still have some clients and we do traditional advertising, some of the old school traditional advertising, and it works. We have clients who are very successful on television and some radio too. You say, I'm only going to do free tools. Well, you're going to eliminate the power of, say, a good television campaign if it's done right. You eliminate some of the things that could be successful because you're not willing to make an investment in your business.
I agree. And going hand in hand with that, you know, let's use the tools that work, whether they're free or paid, right? You know, and I think people, well, Pinterest is new and everyone's got a Pinterest page, so I'm going to have a Pinterest page too. And they don't stop and ask themselves why. What is the business sense and what is the business goal of creating that Pinterest page? I mean, I'm ultimately, yes, I know it's for marketing, which is supposed to lead to sales, but for some companies, being on Twitter or Pinterest or wherever it might be might not make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it just might not be the best use of your time because, you know, especially the social tools are highly time consuming. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm just saying people should take a step back and ask themselves why, because you're right. Advertising, especially great advertising, still works. It's for awareness. It lets people know that you have a product or a sale or a new service. And that's the best way to get that message out there, whether it's online or offline advertising. But, you know, the old school tools, they are still great tools. And, you know, just because they're old school doesn't mean that they don't work all the time.
But I like your point of, does it make sense? I mean, it's free, but does it make sense? And I think a lot of times that question doesn't get asked. Do you have any other marketing follies?
Well, you know, this huge emphasis on content these days is just, and of course, great content, but you know what great content is, Jay? It's advertising. I mean, the biggest media event of the year was the Red Bull Stratus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Red Bull is a content machine, but they produce amazing content that gets spread around because they're really good at what they do. And so just because they do some cool video, everyone thinks that now they need to do some cool video, and that's going to be content. We need a content division, and we need, you know, back in the day, we called that copywriters and graphic designers. they were the ones creating great content, and now we have complete, you know, content departments inside advertising and PR and even, privately held companies, which I think is really interesting. And so, you know, what is content? What isn't content? What's good content? What's bad content? You know, great content to you might be terrible content to me. Mm-hmm. It's really, again, you know, their audience and who they're talking to and all these questions that need to be answered. But I think we're just slapping, which we do an amazing job of as marketers, we're slapping a new label on an old concept. And I think it really gets up all in my craw.
Oh, it's up in Spike's craw. Let's watch out. It's not a pretty place. So what is the role of content then? I mean, you mentioned the Red Bull example. We can't all do Red Bull stuff.
Well, I really think it's engagement on a deeper level, right? But it's engagement done well. And it's something, for me, great content makes me stop and go, all right, well, that was a great idea, or that was very clever, or now you have my interest. And I think there's a lot of ways that companies can do this and have done this. I mean, I love it. I absolutely love it when a company takes a tool that everyone's using the same way and uses it in a exactly opposite way. And I think the Great Poupon thing this year on Facebook, where you had to apply to like their page. And so basically you would go and you had to answer these questions, and then it would scrape your own Facebook profile and look for things that are in Great Poupon like, I guess. And so they would give you a score, and based on your score, you get into the Facebook page.
Wow.
So
that is
instead of, I know, brilliant. So instead of, hey, everybody, come like our page, it's no, we're exclusive. We're going to keep people out that don't match us. You know, and it's such a simple idea, but such a great idea.
It really is.
Even Honda and their pinter mission that they did at the beginning of the year, where basically they found the top pinners on Pinterest and they offered them $500 to take 24 hours off and not pin anything. It's so great. So instead of, you know, it's encouraging you not to use social media by using social media. So again, that to me is great content because people go, all right, that's got my attention.
So many of these companies and blogs had become what they considered themselves to be content machines, right? Yep. Pumping out the blog posts. We need a blog post every day to create content. We're going to hire guest bloggers. I'm going to have a staff of bloggers. And some blogs, like multiple blog posts a day, and it just gets tiring. I mean, how much can you say every single day with a blog post?
Absolutely. It's just especially in our industry. Like for TMZ and celebrities, I get it because that trash happens all the time and people want to consume that, which just makes me sad. But for marketing, you're right. How many ways can we say the same thing?
I'm going to bring up Spike Jones here too for original content, because every Friday on Twitter, it's Follow Friday. But with Spike, it's Unfollow Friday, where he encourages people to unfollow him. So how's that working for you?
It's been a very fun experiment. First of all, trying to come up with something every week that's relevant to talk about. But then, you know, it's more for fun than anything else. And it's really, you know, it's almost, I get more followers because of it. And that was never my purpose. But, trying to use something that's programmed one way, trying to kind of turn it on its head. It's fun.
Well, for my final marketing folly, I think I'm going to go with not having a website. And a lot of businesses think that they can get by. It goes hand in hand with the free tools earlier, but I think you've got to have your own piece of real estate on the internet. You've got to own your own land on the internet. And I think a lot of businesses forget that, or they put up a brochure website and just stick a place, because that is your website. I don't remember what the statistics are right now, but it's a big percentage of people will come to your website to look at your business before they decide to purchase from you.
Mm-hmm.
And not having that website and saying, oh, my Facebook page is good enough, and thinking you're communicating with people on Facebook, you're only communicating with, what is the latest percentage, 15% of your fans on your Facebook page. That's all Facebook's going to allow to see your post unless you start promoting them. But you're anyone and everyone can see your website, and it's permanent, and you can be personable on your website, and you can tell the story of your business on your website, and it's there. And so to give up control, of your real estate on the internet by not having a website and not paying attention to your website, I think is marketing folly.
I agree, and there's only one exception, and I think it's to when, you know, that coveted place where only few brands can get, or only few, let's say, exclusive brands can get, to where you're so coveted and you're so well known and there's so much word of mouth about you. And I'm not talking about a popular brand. I'm talking about something that's, you know, very, very high end, whether it's a restaurant or clothing or whatever it might be. I'm starting to see a trend where they just have a landing page and all it is the name of the company and a phone number. And especially for restaurants, especially. So you can't make reservations online. You know, they don't post a menu, but you've heard about it. You know, someone else told you about it. So, you know, you go search for it. They don't do SEO. You know, you go search for it on your own, and you find it. And there all it is that logo and that phone number. And I think that's really fascinating because, you know, there's exclusivity, and everybody wants to be a part of something bigger than themselves. Mm-hmm. And while you don't know, all you know about the company is what you've heard from other people, which is amazing word of mouth. And, you know, like I said, does not happen to hardly any companies these days, but I'm starting to see a little trend when it comes to that exclusivity.
I like that. I like that approach of being exclusive and taking the contrarian approach a little bit and saying not having a full-blown website, but having something that makes people want to learn more or want to get more from you that they can't get from you online.
Absolutely. And once you know that secret, you know, you want to tell other people about it.
Well, our guest has been Spike Jones, Group Director for Engagement at WCG in Austin and author of Brains on Fire. Spike, what is WCG? Tell me a little bit more about it.
WCG, Wisecom Group. So based in San Francisco, we have big offices in New York and Austin. So we are, you know, a communications agency, everything from PR to digital. I sit in the digital division, and everything's backed and run by our analytics group. So everything, the tip of the spear for us is analytics. So that's where we get our insights, and that's what we build programs on. So everything from consumer, we've got a big healthcare division as well, so growing like a weed. So be able to check us out, WCGworld.com.
Cool. I'll put links to that in the show notes. And Brains on Fire, quick little plug for Brains on Fire. Tell people if they haven't read it or been exposed to it yet, what Brains on Fire is about.
Yeah, Brains on Fire. So it's about 2 years old now, but still a lot of relevant lessons. So it's 10 lessons learned, creating some of the most widely known and referenced word-of-mouth ambassador programs in the industry. Everything from scissors and paper for Fiskars to Best Buy in their musical instruments division. So, like I said, still a lot of relevance in there. We're still seeing pretty good sales, which has been great 2 years later. But, you know, go out and pick it up. I'm sure it's on discount on Amazon by now. So be sure to check it out.
Sure. I'm going to post a link to that also in the show notes and post a link back to the blog post that I wrote about Brains on Fire a couple years ago.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, Spike, thanks again for joining us. And let's keep marketing folly to a minimum in 2013, right?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Jay.
Marketing foolishness, I think, occurs when you try to do too many things and when you try to follow the crowd too much. We keep on looking for new tools, new ways to do things, and we end up doing too much, and we end up doing things that are outside of my business. My primary advice to all businesses is really to look inside your own business first. You are a unique business, a unique brand, and you're more interesting than you think. You just have to let your inner personality show through externally in your brand, and I think you will find that people will gravitate towards that. So I hope one of your New Year's resolutions is to avoid marketing folly in 2013. Our thanks to Spike Jones, Group Director for Engagement at WCG in Austin. I'll post links to Spike's website and to WCG Group, as well as show notes from this episode of the podcast, number 85, on Marketing Folly. You can find that at powertothesmallbusiness.com, powertothesmallbusiness.com, also on my primary website, themarketingspot.com. And I hope you'll remember to check out my new transformation website, which is x4i.com. That's the letter X, F-O-U-R, and the letter I.com. My name is Jay Arrett. I'm Dean of Marketing Know-How at themarketingspot.com. And we'll catch you soon on the next episode of Power to the Small Business.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arrett, the internet show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspot.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
Our thanks to Mary Lynn Foster of The Big Success Show for the opening and closing credits of the podcast. You can find Mary Lynn at The Big Success Podcast, BIGGSuccess.com.